Okay. I'll just fold in that door a little. Okay.
Guru Maharaj, we hear in verse 6 of Guru Vashtakam, Nikunji Yuno Letikeli Siddhya Yayayi Bir Yuktira Pekshaniya. So, the kind of translation of the verse, just meditating on that, it talks about the spiritual master helping intimately the gopis in the service of Radha Krishna. But then also devotees in modern day ISKCON, they talk about getting away from the conception of the guru being an Uttamadhikari and Paramahamsa devotee and so on. So how do we really understand the verse in the context of
getting away from it?
Or not being obsessed with the necessity of a guru being at that level?
Well, I would qualify that. In other words, disciples should be more, and devotees should be more qualified to perhaps, number one, recognize that all gurus are not on the same level of the spiritual advancement. All Vaishnavas are not the same. And just because someone's a guru doesn't mean that he's an Uttama Adhikari. On the other hand, it isn't that, and someone shouldn't fabricate things. But at the same time, Prabhupada says that it's preferable that one does select an Uttamadhikari for a spiritual master, and therefore a devotee should recognize symptoms of Vaishnavas, since they're emphasized in Shastra. And they should be careful in selecting the spiritual master. And then once having selected a spiritual master, they worship him as Shakshad Hari, as good as Krishna, according to, and they try to understand references of Shastra on the spiritual master, both according to the qualities that they themselves observe. But I think while there's been excess in trying to emphasize, or just going to one side, that just because someone's a guru, he must be an Uttamadhikari, there's also the danger of going on the other side, that no one's an Uttamadhikari. Just a minute. They're both the same thing. One is raga, one is dvesha, as Krishna says in the Gita. One is going too much in one direction, one is going too much in the other. Neither of them are based on knowledge. So we should act on the basis of knowledge. The devotee should be educated. But they should recognize that yoga kshema bahami aham, whatever is needed in Krishna consciousness for their spiritual advancement, Krishna will supply for them. But they should also be astute and be careful in their steps in devotional service. They may accept a spiritual master who's not an Uttamadhikari. That's also all right. Let's say Diksha Guru, we have in terms of Shiksha, Prabhupada, and other Acharyas, and as it's required, and Krishna can also provide later other Shiksha Gurus to act in the capacity of Uttaradhikari, and of course one's own Diksha Guru also will progress in Krishna consciousness. Now, Nikunjayam Ratikeli Sitari has two contexts, and exactly that, just on the, this is not pure oil, just on the basis of on the basis of both the level of advancement and of the spiritual master, as well as the level of service. So Nikunja Yunurati Keli Siddhai is both in substance. The substance of it is bringing Radha and Krishna together and serving them in the best possible way. As a sadhaka, one serves them in the united form of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Hi, Baal. One serves them in the combined form of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and serving Lord Chaitanya's mission of spreading Krishna consciousness is also serving them in the best possible way. And Uttamadhikari does that in any case because that's his mission in his sadhak vesh, in his devotee conduct, devotee form. If he's actually at that level of advancement that he's either in his siddhadeha or he has sufficient attachment that he's absorbed in that type of meditation, then he may be thinking at times in that, or if he has his Siddhadeya, he may simultaneously be engaged in the spiritual world in that activity. But in any case, he's doing Kunja Yunoratikali Siddhai as a servant of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And then he may or may not be doing it as a manjari or however else, whatever other spiritual identity he's acquired or aspires after. In that sense, a elevated Madhyamadhikari can also be thinking about that. But in any case, a real Vaishnava, he has to be engaged in service all the time. And when he's engaged in the service of spreading Lord Chaitanya's mission, then that's the substance of Nikunja Yunuratikeli Siddhai in its other form. So,
so in terms of guru, obviously we have the vapu and we have the vani, and I was meditating on how practical ways in which one can develop more of an internal connection with guru.
Through service and offering that service always with love and devotion through a spiritual master. If that becomes someone's Saran, just like Krishna says, Yomam Pashyati Sarvatra, that we should learn how to see Krishna everywhere and in everything. By that practice, then that can also come. I was thinking about Krishna, and you're naturally thinking about Krishna's servant, spiritual master, and so on. So it should naturally be taking place. So it's sudden. Just like meditating on Krishna is sadhana. So meditating on Krishna's devotees is also a form of sadhana bhajan.
So, Kumaraj, in terms of in the general conduct of service, we find that there's always so much preaching to do, so many activities we can do, but then there's also the need for time to contemplate, to really look within oneself and absorb experiences and insights and so on. Mm. How do we really strike that balance?
It's a constant... constant struggle, I was going to say. It's a constant effort, put it that way. It's just like a tightrope walker if he's walking across some chasm. So it's not that, you know, once he gets his balance, he keeps it. He has to be constantly adjusting and readjusting. And because of the dynamic of the material world, then what actually really happens is that there needs to be constant adjustment and readjustment. That's the only way it really works. It's not that you just sort of set it up and do it. One should try and set up a good schedule and so on, but no matter how good a schedule you set, you always find that things come in and you have to keep adjusting and readjusting. And That's what it means to be in the material world. Go ahead.
In terms of developing a vision for an ashram, for a brahmachari ashram, I was just wondering if you could give your insights into how one can actually go about, or how a group of devotees can actually go about forming a vision which is both realistic but also stretches us and allows us to really take preaching forward.
Well, you're talking about the physical ashram, or you're talking about actually the group itself, the devotees together, right?
The devotees together as a group.
Well, brahmachari should be viewed as the first stage of Varnashrama. So whatever Varnashram standards are, that's what the brahmachari ashram should reflect, and which means brahmachari gurukule vasadanto guru hitan. Devotee should learn the mood of selfless service in the ashram. In this case, it's Prabhupada's ashram. Prabhupada's, you could say, the generic guru, and guru for everyone. It's Prabhupada's ashram that all the devotees are in. And and they should learn how that mood of selflessness, and at the same time staying aloof or clear of members of the opposite sex until they decide either they're going to continue on in that ashram for the rest of their lives, or they enter to Grihastha ashram, and then they make training and plans for that. So if that's the essence, vasadanto guru hitan, to live for the benefit of the guru. That's sort of the spirit, the common spirit that devotees need to imbibe. What is it that, you know, this guru's ashram, Srila Prabhupada's ashram, what is it that he wants from us? So he wants us to learn Krishna consciousness, and then he wants us to preach it and give it to others. And then organizing oneself around that is what will make something Gurur Hitan, living for the benefit of spiritual master, which is really a selfless attitude. Because a devotee should learn to be selfless, especially if he enters into the Grihastha ashram later, he really needs to be selfless, because then he really has to give himself to the other members of his family as well, and learn how to be very charitable. And if he doesn't, then he needs to really continue on and develop in that brahmachari mode. And anything more specific?
In terms of forming that, with that basis, how can we really go about forming something which is in the favor of Guru Guru Hitan?
That's just a technique. I don't think that the same could be said for any ashram, for the Vanaprastha ashram and the Sannyasa ashram and the Grihastha ashram. How do they get together in order that they, as devotees of like mind, like lifestyle, how is it that they can serve Prabhupada the best? Everyone will be doing it a little differently, although they'll have common things, but because of their ashram, then it will be different. And but structure for realizing that can be similar. Just like in Chaupati, they have the mentor system. So whoever you are, you've got a mentor. Mm. Whether you're Grihastha Brahmachari, it doesn't matter. Everyone should be part of that arrangement. But it applies differently to people according to the different statuses of life, according to their age. So there needs to be a social structure. And then has that social structure, and even brahmacharis, to really be functional, they need to also envisage how they fit, how that brahmacharya ashram relates to and fits into the greater social picture, and how it relates to like grihasthas and so on. Because it's not meant to be an isolation of everyone else, especially not with us here in the West. It doesn't work like that.
So you'd say there's not so much of a need for having a 10-year plan or a 5-year plan or something along those lines?
Oh, no, there's no harm in having any plan. 10-year plan for a group of devotees?
Mm.
I don't know if so it's a question of whether all the group, you make a 10-year plan for a group of devotees when all the devotees are all of the same nature. Otherwise, you make a 10-year plan and 10 years later, some are brahmacharis, others already have children.
Mm.
So you can't make a 10-year plan for people of different nature. If you have brahmacharis who've taken the vow of lifelong brahmachari, then you can make a 10-year plan. Otherwise, you can't make a 10-year plan. You can make 10-year plans for grihasthas once they're married, and because they're going to stay married for more than 10 years. And that's why grihastha life is... These are brahmacharis are like that. If you go to classical brahmachari, where you go from 5 to 25 years, then it could be 10 years, but we don't have those kind of plan. And then at a certain point, grihastha, he also, his 10-year plan or his 20-year plan concludes with vanaprastha, and that's part of the plan, so that one ashram merges into another, and some who are very brahminical, they may even take sannyas. That may be also part of the plan, or it may not. Depends on the individual. So there's no harm, but in a transient, in an ashram that's generally highly transient, you make long-term plans with those who have made long-term commitment. Okay, where's the offering? Okay, I guess we're gonna sort of finish off. But I guess probably the last thing is that individuals also need to make, before you make, you need an overall idea of what a general function of a brahmacharya ashram is, but it has to encompass the reality that many devotees are transiting through it, they're not staying there. And therefore, you need to be able to offer medium-term facilities for those who are going to do that. And for those who make lifelong commitment, then something for that. Then you need to, devotees need to be able to make their own plans. They need to really define where they're at. Can you give me that last one? Then they need to, what is their particular commitment? And
because a common question which is asked is for a new devotee is, where is the ashram going? Where are we going as a group? And that is kind of a natural question, which also acts as a source of inspiration, is something which one can really work towards.
Well, you have to establish your short-term goals. Generally, you're giving a certain level of training up to that stage where a devotee should be able to see where he's going to go in life ashram wise? Is he going to be, is he going to remain a brahmachari, or is he going to get married? That's one place where the group's going. And in the meantime, and those who are staying, making lifelong commitment, they can make long-term commitment as to where they're going. Part of where they're going is helping other people find themselves. The others, they'll have shorter term goals. You can't mix. You can, you know, the shorter term goals are common. Long-term goals aren't. Hare Krishna. Okay.